Blog Talk Radio.
We do honor our God, and we thank God for you that are with us tonight. God bless you. This is Reverend Aaron Williams, DTW Ministries, by way of Blog Talk Radio, right here on the Purpose Kingdom Network. Do you have purpose, divine purpose in your life? My God, God had birthed us, not just naturally, but even spiritually, for his purposes. Hallelujah. The word of God says, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Let your purpose, God, be done in us, in earth, in this realm, in our time. Let us see you move. God, we do thank you and we bless you for blessing us. God, we bless you for Blog Talk Radio. We bless you for Purpose Kingdom. We bless you for DTW Ministries. We bless you for your word and for your people. God, we pray in the name of Jesus, God, that you would bless your people in the name of Jesus tonight. As the word goes forth, God, that you would continue to equip us, God, continue to educate us, continue to edify us and build us up, continue to tear down things that are not like you in our lives. Hallelujah, God, that we may live our lives to glorify you. God, I pray for every listener, for every hearer, that you will give us ears to hear in the name of Jesus, God, what you have to say unto us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You be careful of the things you say of me. I'm an heir of salvation. Don't you see? It is time for us to stop living in sin for Christ. He's coming back again. It may be morning, night, or noon. I don't know just how soon. Christ, he's coming back. Oh, Christ, he's coming back. Oh, yes, Christ, he's coming back. Oh, again, it may be morning, night, or noon. I don't know just how soon, Christ, he's coming back. Oh, again, are you ready for the return of our God? Hallelujah. As I thought about this topic for tonight, I was sitting in the office and I said, God, what in the world? Tonight is the night for DTW. I almost forgot. And what came on my mind is that God does not change. The Bible says that he remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is one of the not discouraging, but very troubling scriptures, because it sometimes keeps the church, keeps the move of God stagnant, because people are afraid to change. But listen, not change God, not change what God does, but the traditions of men. We are afraid to change tradition, but God didn't say that tradition is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We cannot dictate our old tradition into new wineskins. Let me put it that way, because we try so hard to keep our old tradition, to keep what we call the old landmark, and afraid often to allow the newer generation to express themselves the way that they feel free to do, because it doesn't fit into our tradition. But tell somebody that God is still
on the throne, my God. Hallelujah. And that's what we're going to go through. We're going to go through just a few examples of God is still. He's still moving, my God. Hallelujah. Psalms 62:11 says, God has said this once, but twice have I heard this, and I'll keep saying it, and that is that power belongs to God. I want to stop right there and just digress, because there seems to be a word that's going forth, or a movement that you can do whatever you want. You can, as long as you believe in Jesus, it doesn't matter what kind of life you live. But we remember in the Bible, does anyone still read the Bible? See, this is what the disparity is. The disparity is that a lot of us are saying we love God, but what are we love? We're loving him according to our own understanding. And the Bible tells us in Proverbs, lean not unto your own understanding, but to acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. God is still on the throne. To him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb, to him be all glory and honor, dominion and power forever. God is still on the throne, and we must be accountable and answer to him. The thing that makes me so excited about this is that he does not leave us alone. He doesn't leave us to our own vices. He doesn't leave us to our own strength, our own thinking, but he allows his spirit to dwell on the inside, that he may woo us to the things of God. Is anyone being wooed today, my God? When I think about wooing, you know, when it was that girl that you liked, when it was that dude that you liked, it was certain things you letting you batted your eyes, or you wore that right cologne, or you made sure you put your best foot forward. And every time God approaches you and I, he puts his best foot forward, my God. He's wooing you through his love. He's wooing us through I'm going to jump ahead, because God still loves you. My God, hallelujah. Someone tonight might be discouraged, thinking that God doesn't love him, thinking that God doesn't love her. But remember, the scripture said that God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, my God, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for those that were unrighteous. God, Christ died for those that were the enemies of God. Christ died for those that were alienated from God. Christ died, hallelujah, that you and I might have life. Bible, hallelujah, she, my God. The Bible reminds us that he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? We have everything that we need, Peter reminds us, that pertains to life and godliness. Christ said that I come that you might have life. What kind of life, God? What kind of life? Mediocre life? What kind of life? Lukewarm life? No, but that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. Because God loves us and puts his best foot forward, the Bible reminds us that he's given us of himself. He's given us a token. He's given us August. He's given us the best portion of himself to dwell on the inside. And I want to pause right there, because there is a communion that has to happen between the child of God and the God of their salvation. And that portion is the portion that Mary found. Remember when Mary and Martha were tending to the things and the affairs of the house? But when Martha looked, Mary had sat down and was at Jesus' feet. She said, come on, Jesus, look at this woman. Look at Mary. She's sitting down. I'm busy doing all this stuff. Jesus looked and said, Martha, Martha, you are troubled about many things. But Mary have chosen that good part, and it will not be taken from her. As we look at what we need from God, does anyone need something? See, we're spending our time looking for wealth from God. Yeah, we want the blessing. Yeah, we want the new car. Yeah, we want the new house. Yeah, we want the bling bling. We want these things that make us look godly on the outside. When God is saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn me. My God, seek ye first the kingdom. Learn of me. Hallelujah. Try to be more like me. Learn of me. Then he gives us the answer. Hallelujah. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your soul. I'm going to tell you, wealth can't give it to you. That car can't give it to you. That man can't give it to you. That woman can't give it to you. Those things, those children, that house, those things that you're looking for, that you're chasing after, can't give it to you. They're but temporal. We need to seek for and search for that God that's eternal. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal. God still loves you. He loves you to power. He loves you to victory. It's our love for him that makes the difference. It's our love for him. God will love us all the way to hell, and his love will still be everlasting. He will love us all the way to damnation, and his love will still be eternal, because God is love. In 1 John, it says, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. But he that loves not, listen, knoweth not God, for God is love. Now, don't trip over that love. Don't trip over that word, because we think that love doesn't correct. We think that love doesn't chastise. We think that love doesn't punish. But love tells us in advance, this is what's going to happen if you don't. See, and I don't want to preach damnation today. I don't want to preach hellfire today. But I want you to understand, I want us to understand that God's love is why Christ went to the cross. God's love is why Christ, even right now, is making intercession for you and I. God's love is what constrains men. God's love is what keeps them. But what, how, and how, why, and how much we love God. Mm-hmm. How much do you love God is the question. Because as long as you love you more than you love God, as long as we love things more than we love God, as long as we love others more than we love God, we're going to struggle with the decision on what God's expectation is. You remember the parable of the servants, five. One he gave five talents, one he gave two, one he gave one. The one with five went and used the five and gained five more. The one that had the two went and used the two and made two more, but the one that had one buried it. And the irony of this, that's a word, and the ironic part of what happened is that he said, I knew you were a hard man. I keep saying this scripture. I keep going back here. I knew you had expectations. I knew, God, that you expected more of me. I knew that you equipped me. I knew that you gave it to me, that I may do something with it, but I was afraid. Even in your fear, God still loves you. Even in your hesitation, God still loves us. Even in our apprehension, God still loves us. And he's beckoning us tonight to come. He's beckoning us to get right. He's beckoning us to exit where we say, acknowledge him in all of my ways. God, I'm fearful. God, I'm hurting. God, I'm in pain. God, I'm fretful. God, I need help in my faith. God, I'm lustful. God, help. Do we know how to cry for the need without the mask? Do we know how to cry for the true God without the facade? Do we know how to cry and put a religion to aside that we may chase after the one true God? God still loves me. God still loves you. God still loves us. Hallelujah. And God is still working on me. Asha, I know you can shout right there. He has not given up on us. Hallelujah. Some people love until you love them and can't love them back. They turn their love away. But God's love is from everlasting to everlasting. God's mercy is eternal. God's grace is eternal. God's, hallelujah, long-suffering is eternal because God is love. Everywhere I turn, he keeps blessing me. Every time I turn around is another blessing. Every time I do an about face, every time I do a 360, the blessings are overtaking me because God still loves me and God is still working on me. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident. This is the confidence that I have. Because I recognize in my walk with God, I'm not where I ought to be. But they said, well, what's so happy about? Because I'm not where I used to be. That gives me confidence of the very thing that God who started the work on me, God who started the work in me, God who's moving on me to begin the good work is going to perform it. He's going to bring it to pass. He's going to straighten it out. He's going to make the crooked places straight. He's going to make the valleys into mountains. He's going to make them into plains. He's going to bring the mountains low. He's going to do what he has to do to work it out. As I work out my own soul salvation with fear and trembling, God is working in me something on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. I'm confident of the very thing because I'm better today than I was yesterday. Proverbs says that the day of the just shineth more and more unto that perfect day. Every day I'm better than I was yesterday. I can't worry about the failures of my past. I can't worry about the things that I've let down and the people that I've let down. I can keep them and keep praying, but I have to keep moving because he's working on me. But don't get stuck there. Don't stay under construction for so long because as we erect buildings, there are portions of the building that goes up as the exoskeleton. You know, before they erect the site, they dig the hole. They dig the foundation. And as deep as high as the building is, the foundation must be deep enough to support, listen, not just the weight, but the shifting of the building through wind, through storm. My God, this is some good stuff. The weight of the building, even the storms that hit the building, will not allow or will not cause the building to fall. God has to dig out some stuff in us while he's working on us. God has to construct some stuff in us. God has to go deep down into some of us. Don't get fretful because he's erecting a mighty building. Ah, how deep do you have to go, God? Hallelujah. He's going deeper with some of you because the building that he's building is greater. You got to allow him. Somebody tell God, greater, go deeper. Greater, go deeper. Greater, go deeper. Be confident that you're not like you used to be, that you're better than you were. I remember the $6 million man, the theme when it was coming on, that we can make him better than he was. Better, stronger, faster. My God, hallelujah. Storms are a part of life. Trials are a part of life. Troubles are a part of life. But there are portions of construction that erect a greater glory. God, my God, is working out a greater glory in your life because God is still working on me. God is still talking. Bible says in Hebrews that at sundry times and in different manners, God spoke in the past to our fathers by the prophets, but has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also the world was made. God is still speaking. We talk about the still small voice. We talk about God moving in circumstances, in condition, God moving miraculously, but God speaks to us by his word. We said this during our last broadcast a few weeks ago, that if you want to know God, you have to know God in the pardon of your sin through his Son, Jesus Christ. There are prophets out there, and it didn't say biblical prophets, it said prophets. Baal was a prophet, and he prophesied often. But when he went to curse the children of God, he couldn't. He told the king, hey, the God of heaven, the Most High, bless these people. I can't curse them. I can't go above what God has already ordained. He was a true prophet. So there are prophets that are not mentioned in the Holy Scripture. And God spoke and gave signs and revelations through these men, through these women of God. But he has chosen in these last days to speak through his Son. And John says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And the Word, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. Listen, and the Word was God. If you want to know God, you got to know God through his Word. And his Word is Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God. And if you want to know Jesus, you have to know your Bible. I continue to hear people have quotes and say things just outright that are not in the Bible. It's just something that they've heard. But it's not in the Bible. The Bible is our foundation. So as we look at how God still speaks, as God still loves us, as God is still working on us, God, hallelujah, is still moving. Hallelujah. God is still moving. Songwriter said, God is moving by his Spirit. Moving all over the earth with signs and wonders while God's moving. Then it says, move, O Lord, in me. It's not by power, nor is it by might, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of God is our earnest token. Hallelujah. It's the peace of God. It's the peace of heaven that God has given us. He is the third person in the Godhead. The Holy Spirit is a person, and we have to learn to talk to him. We have to learn to talk to him. I'm getting serious right here, because we have somehow neglected the necessity of prayer in the life of the believer. I've been going to and fro, and we've been singing here, we've been doing things, I've been traveling, been going out and sitting in quite a few churches in the last, I'd say, year and a half. And I've seen a lot of services. And bless God, people were having church. But that was just it. God had started giving me a distaste for services that didn't, I would say, invite him, that were not about him, that were about other things. I don't have a problem with pastors' anniversaries and birthdays or whatever celebration. If you can get people in church, praise the Lord, because sometimes we just got to get them in the door. Whatever it takes to get them in the door, quite often it's because of a funeral. My God, have mercy. And I want to plug that in. Don't let a funeral be your next family reunion. I want to encourage somebody. I want to talk to you right there. Don't let a funeral be your next family reunion. My God, we need to come together. We need to come together in prayer. We need to come together physically. We need to come together heart to heart, breast to breast. Our families need to get to know each other. Don't let a funeral be your next family reunion. And Christ is working. God is still speaking. God is still working. God is still loving. And God is still coming back, my God. Hallelujah. Romans 13 says, do this knowing the time that it is high time for us to awaken out of our sleep. For now our salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. We know when we talk about the armor and the scripture that everybody knows, and having done all to stand, having done all to stand. After you fortified yourself, after you exercised, after you trained, after you've practiced, after you've prayed, after you've done the necessities, after you've done those things that prepare you for battle, after you've done those things that would enable you to stand. After you've done those things that equip you and equate you to being and relate you to being a child of God, stand. After you've done those things that people say, oh, they're prepared. Oh, when it's time for a test, we sometimes cram. But then the best thing is to get cue cards and whatever is good for you. I like cue cards and just writing things down, because when I write them down, it seems to etch into my brain a little bit more. But whatever it does to get ready for that test, we do it so that when the day of the test come, we can pass, or we can get a passing grade, or we can do our best. So as a Christian, there are things that we have to do. Romans tells us, don't keep walking in darkness. Don't keep walking like we're asleep. Open up your eyes. Why? Because Christ is coming. Salvation is nearer than when we believe. From the time you say yes to God, it's closer. From the time you say, God, I do, it's closer. From the time you say, I'm a Christian, it's closer than when you believed. We've walked in darkness. Listen, we've walked in darkness. We've walked in sin. We've done those things that were displeasing to God. We've done those things that were rebellious. We've done those things that were outright sinful. But the night is far spent. Listen, it's daytime. It's time for us that are children of light to put on the armor of light, because Christ is coming back. Thessalonians 5 says, but ye, brothers, are not in darkness. Because we know that the scripture says that that day, the day of Christ, the day of the Lord, is going to come as a thief in the night. But he said, listen, you ain't in darkness. Why is he talking about darkness? What is the illustration? What is the example of darkness? When you're talking about darkness, he ain't just talking about when you turn the lights off. But see, our darkness, when we think of darkness, we can still see. But the darkness that he's talking about, you can't see, and you can only feel your way, my God. Hallelujah. I'm so glad it's by faith and not by feeling. Ah, yes, God. We have a God that reveals. In Deuteronomy, it says that everything that God has revealed belongs to our children, belongs to us and our children, to the third and the fourth generation. But then it says, but the hidden things of God belong to him. Has he revealed salvation? It belongs to you. As he revealed healing, it belongs to you. As he revealed deliverance, it belongs to you. As he revealed his power, it belongs to you. My God, power to walk right, power to talk right. Brothers, we are not in darkness that that day should overtake us as a thief. It says in verse 1 and verse 2 of 1 Thessalonians 5 this, but of the times and of the seasons, brother, you don't need for me to write to you about that. He said, listen, I ain't got to even bring up that stuff that you already know. Everybody can look and say, hey, we can look at Syria. We can look at the wars overseas in the Middle East. We can look at our judicial system. We can look at our commander-in-chief. We can look at those things that we say are pointing us toward the signs of times and the end of times. Verse 2 says, for yourself know perfectly that that day of the Lord comes as a thief. Christ is coming back. Matthew 24:42 says, watch therefore, for you don't know the hour or the time your Lord is coming. But know this, if the good man of the house had known and what watched the thief. Remember I said the thief comes but to steal, kill. The thief comes as a thief in the night. He would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Verse 44 of Matthew 24 says this, therefore, be ye also ready. We often use that when somebody calls us unannounced. When we go sit in the church thing and we hide in the back and somebody come and say, hey, brother, hey, sister, come and sing, come and read, come and help us with worship. Ready? Well, be ye also ready. Yeah, be ye therefore also ready. Why? Because we don't know when Christ is coming back, when God is moving, when God is blessing, but we know he's going to do it. We often say this quote, says it's better to not have opportunity and to be prepared than to have opportunity and not be prepared. God has equipped us with all things. Bible says given all things that pertain. Listen, everything that pertains to life. I want you, when we finish this broadcast tonight, to make a list. Put on one column, life. And under that, underline life. And under the word life, write everything that you can think of that pertains to life. And then make on a second column, godliness. Underline godliness and make a column and put everything under it. How many attributes that you can list under both of those words? And I know that God has done even more because I know he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we're able or even think. Listen. According to that power that works in you. My God, hallelujah, hallelujah. We're excited. We thank God. Come on, give the Lord a hand for that. God is still speaking. God is still working. God is still loving. God is still moving. God is still on the throne, and God is still coming back. He's coming back for church without spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing. And we're so glad that it's because of the blood of Christ that we've been washed clean. Bible says, come now. Let us reason together. though your sins be as scarlet, hallelujah, I will make them white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, I shall make them as lamb's wool. Come now. Listen to all that you have to lose and all that I'm giving you to gain. All you have to gain, all you have to do is confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. The Bible says you shall be saved. For with the heart, with the mouth, man confesses unto righteousness. Man believeth unto righteousness, yes. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Won't you confess Christ tonight? Won't you ask him that still, hallelujah, in the blessing business, God is still working. God is still moving. God is still loving. God is still speaking. God is still in control. God is still on the throne. And God is still blessing me. That God, won't you give him a chance tonight? I'm going to pray for you. Then I'm going to ask that those that are under the sound of my voice that want to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior to repeat a simple prayer. But first, let's pray. God, I do thank you for the word that has gone out of your mouth. Thank you for the anointing that destroys every yoke. Thank you, God, for the ear of every hearer that you've blessed that they may hear your word in the name of Jesus, God. Thank you for preparing every heart in Jesus' name. Thank you for drawing men and women unto yourself. Thank you that you're taking us to a new place in you. We feel you lifting us higher and higher. Thank you, God, that you're still in control, that you're still in the blessing business, that you're still on the throne, that you're still speaking, hallelujah, that you're still working on us, God, that you still love us, God, that you're still coming back. I pray, God, that again you would touch those that may be sick, that may be hurting, that may be brokenhearted, God, right now, in the name of Jesus. That you would heal, God, like no other can. Let them feel your presence. Give them a tangible touch in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask that those that are under the sound of my voice that want to, again, receive Christ as their Lord and Savior, to repeat this prayer. It's a simple prayer. And I'm going to just ask that you say it and mean it. Say it as if you're searching for God with your heart, asking him to come in and change your life. Say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Forgive me of my sin and wash me with your blood that you shed on Calvary's cross for me. Holy Spirit, come into my heart and give me a hunger for you. I ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you said what you meant and meant what you said, God has done exactly what you have asked. Now we're going to have our online, I call our online pastor, to come on and give you further instructions on how you can correspond with Purpose Kingdom and other information on how you can share your new life and your new experience in Christ. Pastor. Rob, is Pastor Tory available? All right, praise the Lord. I'll wait for them to come online. But if you're in the Philadelphia area, my God, I invite you to our church, the Deliverance Evangelistic Church, 2001 West Lehigh Avenue, under the auspices, I've always wanted to say that word, under the leadership of our pastor, Pastor Glenn Spalding. We are having a Thanksgiving service tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. at the church. If you want to, you'll come and meet me. I'll be there. Meet our pastor. Tell him that you're born again. You just received Christ. Or maybe you've rededicated your life and you just want to be able to share and to come to a church. We are having service again, 2001 West Lehigh Avenue. That is in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Amen. At 7 p.m. tomorrow night for our Thanksgiving service. And the men's choir will be singing. So praise the Lord. Pastor Tory or Rob, if you guys are on the line and available to come on to give further information about Purpose Kingdom and correspondence, you can do that at this time. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We first and foremost thank and praise God for the word of God that has gone forth this evening. God is still. I don't know about you, but that word this evening was for me, because sometimes we forget that God is still in the blessing business, that God is still on the throne, that God is still in control of our lives. So we just bless God, and we thank God for Reverend Aaron and for his faithfulness and obedience to the unctioning of the Holy Spirit. If you are one who gave your life to Christ this evening, we encourage you to find the Bible Believing Teaching Preaching Sanctuary, where you can grow in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and heal from the trials and the tribulations of this world. But if for some reason you cannot, bless God, that is why Purpose Kingdom Network is here for you. Please join us tomorrow evening for another episode of Purpose Kingdom Network right here on www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. We will be broadcasting at 9 p.m. You can feel free to follow us on Facebook as well as on LinkedIn at Purpose Kingdom. We are on Instagram and Twitter at Purpose_Kingdom. Please feel free to email any comments, questions, suggestions, or concerns to us directly at PurposeKingdomNet@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you, to pray with you, and to pray for you. Also, we invite you to follow us with our morning walk in God's Word. We are currently taking a walk following the challenge that was given to us 2 weeks ago in the book of Ephesians. So we are reading in the book of Ephesians. We are now, we will be at chapter 3 tomorrow. So we encourage you to join in with us tomorrow morning as we take a morning walk in God's Word. You can join us at anchorfm.com, or you can go to any of our social media web pages and follow the link, so that as you start your day, you can start it off first and foremost in the Word of God. Reverend Aaron, once again, wonderful word, and you do have a caller on the line.
So we can bring him on in. Caller, you are on the air. This is DTW Ministries. God bless you.
Hi, how are you? I'm Reverend Aaron Williams. This is Antonia Bat. All right,
how
you thank
doing? You.
You know, God is good. I'm glad to be able to be here to talk about it. And I tell you, Thanksgiving is just making me even more excited, not because of it just being a holiday, but more so because it's nice to know that people are just keeping, you know, the atmosphere rolling and keeping the hype going about all of the wonderful things that you've talked about, with God's blessings being definitely continuous. And I just wanted to say I really enjoyed your prayers because if a person would really, let's just say, indulge yourself in what you have to, you know, share with us through the sincere prayers that you bring, I really look forward to the holidays even more. So I just want to let you know I do appreciate each prayer that you brought into the whole, you know, the whole mix of things. I almost called it a sermon because of being used to having had went to church in the past. But if it don't mean anything negative, I hope you don't mind if I actually had a slip of the tongue and called it a sermon. But with definitely the prayers that you had definitely helped keep the atmosphere of Thanksgiving going.
Amen. Well, we thank you so much, Sister Antonia. God bless you. Yeah, Thanksgiving, I'm saying it, but my mind is kind of doubled. I'm thanking God because it's Thanksgiving. It's time to thank God. But when I'm thinking about the food, I'm thanking him. I know we're meeting with family, and I don't want to make light of it. But, wow, just a day of thanks. You know the older song, and I guess around the 80s it was out, every day is a day of Thanksgiving. God's been so good to me. Every day he's blessing me. Every day is a day of Thanksgiving. Take the time to glorify the Lord today. Oh, God, thank God for you, Sister Bats. We appreciate the call. And no, I don't mind the slip of the tongue. You know, we know to charge things to people's head and not to their heart. So we thank God for the caller. We thank God that God is still truly in the blessing business. I know some people, you know, around this time of the year, you know, for me, it's kind of rough. You know, this is the same time of the year that my son passed away last year. Even thinking about it, you know, I have to keep my mind on the Lord. You know, I'll get in the corner a little bit, you know, maybe just reminisce a little bit, because he was a comedian for sure. You know, we had some good days and some bad days. But as we move forward in God, I'm finding that all of these things are working together for my good. I don't like the pain, but I had someone who came and their loved one passed, and I knew what to say. Sometimes you don't have to say anything. Sometimes just letting a person know you understand and that you're there and just be there. You don't have to say anything. Just be present. I think that's sometimes how we miss a lot of ministry, because we think a lot of ministry, it revolves around what we do. No, it revolves around God. And one thing my son taught me, you don't know he taught me this, but my son taught me, because he would tell me, and he was telling me about his problems, and some kind of way, when he would tell me about his problems, I would always begin and use an example of myself, which caused me to reminisce. And one day, him and his friends, he came and told me something. I guess he told his friend, watch what my dad do. He started talking about him. And I did it, and I started talking about me. And they just both looked at each other and said, reminisce. And I was like, oh, man, I did it again. Because we make ministry about us and not the person that we're ministering to and the person of the Holy Spirit who is truly doing the ministering through us. So as we yield ourselves the more to God, he will fill our mouths even the more in the middle of our pain, in the middle of our struggle, with an expectation of Thanksgiving. And when I think about this, and we are almost coming to a close, we still have a few minutes, but I thought about this: God is still blessing me. You remember the widow woman? When a woman came and Elijah said, what you want me to do for you? She said, listen, my husband died, and the creditor is coming. They coming, and I ain't got no money, and they want to take my sons and enslave them to pay the debt. He said, look, they can't take my son. He said, what do you have in the house? She said, I ain't got nothing but this little bit of meal and a cruse of oil. He said, listen, go out. Go to your neighbors. Go wherever you can go and collect pots. And when you bring them in, you and your sons, close the door and start pouring out of this pot that you have, the little bit of oil, and fill the pots. He said, well, no, he told him to go in and fill them up. Then he said, I did that. What else to do? He said, now that you filled it, go out and sell and pay your debt. The thing that really blessed me about that scripture is that the oil only stopped. Oh, my God. The oil only stopped flowing when there were no more vessels to fill. Yes, sir. The day of the just, the righteous had a continual feast, the Bible tells us. And how do we keep that flow? We want to know why a lot of us church folk are stagnant. You want to know why a lot of our churches are dying? Do you want to know why a lot of our churches have no move of God? It's because we're not pouring out our oil into others. We're using our oil to grandstand. We're using our oil to build platforms for ourselves. We're using our oil to build kingdoms unto ourselves. And God is saying, pouring out, pour out your oil into another vessel. And as long as there's vessels to pour into, God will still pour out from you, my God. I can shout right there. As long as you're pouring out into, not pouring out for yourself, not pouring out to grandstand, not pouring out to grandeye, not pouring out. Oh, my God. I'm trying to think of this saying that Reverend Harris said. Oh, my goodness. I can hear it, but I can't think of it. Oh, delusions of grandeur. We have delusions of grandeur. But as long, my God, he said, and when there were no more vessels to pour in to, the oil stayed. My God. Hallelujah. That's a revelation for you, Pastor, right there. My God, that's a revelation for pastors. That's a revelation for evangelists. That's a revelation for preachers. That's a revelation for every child of God. How do I continue? How does the presence of God continue to move in me the way that I want him to? Keep pouring. Tell somebody today. Write that down. And that's the word for tomorrow. That's the word for tonight. That's the word for right now. Keep pouring out. My God, God is still filling if we continue to empty. God is still pouring out if we continue to empty. God is still pouring in if we continue, my God, to allow ourselves to be broken. Him. I know I threw some people off with that word broken, so maybe I'll write that down and we'll talk about that during our next broadcast. Hallelujah. My God, we thank you. We thank God that God is still blessing. When you stop the expectation, you limit the blessing. I'm going to say that again. When you stop the expectation, see, a lot of us see victory until a certain test. A lot of us see power until a certain temptation comes. A lot of us see the manifestation and the move of God until a certain trial, certain various tests come that stop our expectation of victory. Stop our expectation of blessing. Stop our expectation of finance. Stop our expectation of the move of God in our life, the deliverance of God, the power of God, the equipping of God. Stop the expectation. And when you stop the expectation, you limit the move. You limit the power. You limit the blessing of God. Remember when Christ went into his hometown and he could not do many miracles there because of the people's unbelief? When you stop the expectation, you limit. I'm not going to say you stop it. You limit the blessing. God, I do thank you. Again, for Purpose Kingdom Network. Thank you for how you brought this word together, Holy Spirit. Shabbat. Thank you. You're all together lovely. You're all together worthy. You're all together, God, in our lives. Thank you for each and every person that either came to know you in the pardon of their sin tonight or that rededicated their lives to you. And I pray your continued blessing on their lives. I pray that they would find a church home, God, that where someone preaches and teaches and lives the example of a consecrated life, where Christ is exalted and the word of God is taught in simplicity and the gospel is preached. God, in the name of Jesus, I pray your blessing on Toy, Pastor Toy, and Brother Rob right now, who continue to work behind the scenes. They're the caregivers of this network. And as such, God, I pray, hallelujah, a double portion on their lives and lives of their children and their children's children. In the name of Jesus, God, even as they put programs together and work behind the scenes with technology and the engineering aspect of this line and of this network, I pray that your blessings would overtake them in abundance. In the name of Jesus, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. We rebuke every plan, every strategy. And we send out the ambushments, God. Let the ambushments of God dwarf the enemy's plans. When the enemy comes in, God, like a flood, you raise a standard against him. Thank you for Purpose Kingdom Network. Thank you for Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for your people. In Jesus' name. Woe to see the dawn of the darkest day. Christ on the road to Calvary, tried by sinful men, torn and beaten, then nailed to a cross of wood. It's the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us. He took the blame, bore the wrath. We stand forgiven at cross. It's the power of the cross. Son of God, slain for us. Oh, what love. Oh, what cost. We stand forgiven at cross. God bless you, people of God. We'll see you the next time right here, DTW Ministries, by way of Purpose Kingdom Network. God bless you. Good night.
Jesus bless.
He raised me. I will not lose. He saved me. I will not lose.
I gotta admit it, I'm so committed to winning.
Yeah.
Will never see defeat another day that I'm living.
Nah.
Why? The devil's still fighting my father when he gon' lose. Why he still trying to move him when he can't be moved. The master hater and deceiver want to see me dead, but I'm alive and live abundantly because Jesus led. New and daily, so the negativity in my head. I've been delivered from fear, so I ain't never scared. Attack the suffering, living, learning to love again, and count it all joy every time. That's the way it's been. I persevere because I'm pressing towards the mark. Gotta embrace the light in me, especially when it's dark. Dark clouds hovering over me must be moved. I travel through my peaks and valleys like I'm on cruise control. I let them have it, so should you.
Yeah.
With Jesus driving, it ain't no way I'm going to lose.
Nah.
God with me.
I will not lose.
God with me.
I will not lose.
Set me free.
I will not lose.
I will
nah.
Not
nah.